You know, with the barakat of your duas, at least the power came on. So what I was explaining is that, for those who may not have heard because there was no power, that I was talking about a letter which I received. It was an email, so I don't know who the writer is. There was no name there. The normal email addresses that we receive, by means of which we cannot make out who the writer is. That he was talking about having tried everything materially possible to solve his problem. Some problem that he was going through, he has mentioned that. But it was not getting solved, so then he turned towards dua, turns towards some salat, turned towards some zikr. But unfortunately, he did not see the fruits of his duas. So he writes that, "I am sick and tired of making duas." Nauzu billah. So besides the other thing that I had mentioned, and as I said that I've discussed this at length in the Monday night majlis, you can get it on the tape there. But those who are going through this kind of phase where they are making dua for a number of days and they do not seem to see the acceptance of their dua, then they must understand and realize that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's acceptance of duas means that either He gives you the same thing that you are asking for, or Allah ta'ala gives you something better in return, something that you did not expect. Allah ta'ala will provide from sources unknown to you. And the person will then get surprised that how I was able to achieve this, and yet I was not worthy and deserving of it. Or Allah ta'ala will remove some difficulty, some problem that this person was going to be faced, confront, and he was not aware of it. Who knows what's going to happen to him tomorrow? But how many times we say that I just got saved, I just missed, the bullet just grazed past me. Just by inches I missed the accident. I could have lost my life. Now this person must have been making dua, "Ya Allah, give me sufficient amount of wealth so that I can pay off my debts." Or he could have been making dua, "Ya Allah, give me good health. I am sick, I am weak, I don't have strength. I am taking all the medication but nothing seems to be helping." Now he was making dua for all that. Allah Ta'ala did not give him recovery from his sickness, but saved him from that accident which could have caused him the loss of his life. So we don't know. Or Allah Ta'ala could keep it in store for the hereafter and give him in the akhirat something that when the person will see, then he will say, "I wish not one dua of mine was accepted in the world." So we must never think that Allah Ta'ala does not listen when He Himself is saying, "Ud'uni astajib lakum." Call upon me, I will respond to your call, I will answer your call. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying in many ayat of the Quran Sharif, we have been invited towards making dua. Not only invited towards making dua, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives us so many duas in the Quran Sharif. If a father is showing his treasures to his son, says, "Look, this is what I've got in this safe here, and this is what I've got in this safe here, and this is what I've got invested in so many different companies and businesses," then what does it mean? It means that the father wants to give all those things to his son. Otherwise, why should he show it to him? When the person does not want to give to somebody something, then he does not show it to him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in so many verses of the Quran Sharif, He is teaching us how to make dua, what duas to make, what to ask of Him, what to beg of Him. So many duas. It's a subject on its own. So why should He ask us to make dua to Him if there was no question of acceptance? And when millions and millions of people, or billions of people throughout the centuries, they have had their duas accepted and they have seen the fruits of their duas, then why should we say that our dua is not accepted? And if we find our dua not being accepted, then we must check where are we going wrong. If all cars of a certain make are running very, very well and performing very well, but our car which is of the same make is not performing well, then we must see in the engine where the kachra has come. There must be some dirt in the carburetor, or there must be something wrong somewhere. Or that must have been the car that was manufactured on the day there was strike. So we must check, where have we gone wrong? But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised the acceptance of duas. So to say that I got sick and tired of making dua, then we should turn towards some other Allah. Is there any other Allah that can help us? Is there any other Allah in whose hands our life is? Then we must return, as I mentioned that night also, we must return our sight, our hearing, our speech, our heart, liver and lungs. everything which is functioning, and all the wealth and property, whatever we have, we should say, Ya Allah, all this was given by you, but I am sick and tired of making dua to you now, so therefore take all these things away. Why don't we return everything then? And say, now I will be worshipping some other Allah who can fulfill all my needs and desires and wishes. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So we can see how far reaching these type of statements are. If the person is married, his nikah breaks. And if he doesn't make a nikah again, he doesn't repeat the nikah after reading the kalima, then the children that will be born of that marriage will be illegitimate. There are so many nikahs like that which have ended, and the person is not even aware that it has ended because he had made statements of kufr. Therefore the jurists are very careful, they are very considerate. They say because of the ignorance of the people, many a time they say it borders on kufr, but they don't give the fatwa of kufr. But this is what it means when the person says, I'm sick and tired of making dua. What else does it mean? So I discussed many things with regard to dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that we should not be hasty. Allah ta'ala accepts all duas as long as the person is not hasty. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was questioned that what does it mean not hasty? He said the person says that I prayed, but I don't see the acceptance of my dua. So therefore he got tired and he leaves out making dua. So then Allah ta'ala does not accept. However, one Allah wala was once asked, one saintly, pious, righteous elder of ours, he was asked that why is it that we are making dua but we do not see the acceptance of the dua? Now there are many things, as I mentioned even that night, that there are many things that are guaranteed. We say it's guaranteed. This car is guaranteed for 100,000 kilometers, 3 years or 2 years or whatever guarantee they give. But then in all guarantees, again, they make exceptions. Subject to. And we all know that we have to read that subject to. Otherwise, if we're going to claim, then they will say that, but you are negligent. You are negligent, and our guarantee states that if you are negligent and then it causes damage to the engine, then you are not going to get the claim. Your claim will not be valid. So in the same way, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also has guaranteed that I will accept your du'as. I will fulfill your needs, your wishes, your desires. However, Allah ta'ala will use his hikmah, he will use his wisdom. Whatever is good for that person, he will give it to him. He must go on making du'a. He must make use of the means that Allah ta'ala has created. Halal means. Abstain totally from haram, because Allah Ta'ala does not accept the du'as of a person who is engaged in haram. Now we are not talking about non-Muslims. Non-Muslims can make any kind of du'a, Allah Ta'ala will accept it. Many people say that non-Muslim made du'a and it got accepted, and I as a Muslim made du'a and it didn't get accepted. But for the non-Muslims, there is no question of Jannat in the Akhirat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them many, many things in this world. And sometimes it is a test, a severe kind of test, because that person now truly believes that what is the need for me to believe in the oneness of Allah? And what is the need for me to believe in the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the need for me to believe in Jannat and Jahannam and in Akhirat and in life after death, when I can see that the moment I ask something, I get it? Many people, that is what they say. That what is the need, because I have everything. And whatever I ask, I seem to be getting. There are so many people, very sinful. They engage in adultery, fornication, crime and everything. And they say, when we pray, we get everything that we ask for. So then that ayat must not be lost sight of, which you have heard by now many times. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. The gist of which, the meaning of which is that when they forgot to heed those advices that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given, the warnings that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given, they read all the incidents of the nations of the past, what happened to them when they disobeyed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They listen to all the warnings given by the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And they see before their very eyes what happened to those people who were sinful, disobedient, how they were wiped out from the surface of the earth. But they failed to heed those advices. Allah Ta'ala gives them some sort of punishment so that they may return to Allah Ta'ala, but they fail. After that again they indulge in the same sins and the same crimes and same vices and same evils. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not continue with the punishment now. Now what he does is opens the doors of all good. And this is the most dangerous thing in a Muslim's life. When in disobedience things start flooding in his life. Good home, good palaces, plenty of wealth, and plenty of property, and plenty of income, and everything seems to be very rosy. He seems to be enjoying life now. In total disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he begins to enjoy life, then that is a danger sign. It's a danger signal. It is a sign that this person will suddenly be trapped. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. When the person begins to enjoy those vices and those evils and those ni'mats which are coming in disguised form, he's engaging in all kinds of evil, enjoying those ni'mats. Then in the midst of his enjoyment, when he's in the midst of his pleasures, when he has totally forgotten who the Creator is and who is the giver of all these ni'mats, Allah Ta'ala suddenly calls him to account, suddenly withdraws all those ni'mats, suddenly pulls the carpet from beneath his feet, and he's thrown into complete bewilderment after that. He's shocked. I don't know what happened to me, what hit me, from which side it hit me. And they say things like that. Well, I was enjoying life. I was in the midst of all pleasures. And everything was very rosy for me. And then suddenly I don't know what hit me and what got me. And I don't know what bala came on me and who did jadu on me. Then they will think of jadu. Whereas it is not jadu. The jadu is the jadu of the sins of the person. It has caught up with him now. Now they will start running to all the amils that they can find. I'm not saying there's no such thing as jadu. It's genuine and plenty of people are doing it too. And there are many amils who can treat it too. But the majority of the cases there's no jadu at all. It is our sins which have caught up with us. And now we want to solve our problems by taweezes. The person will continue with his shaving of his face and annoying and displeasing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He will continue with his adultery, his fornication, his discos and rave clubs, and all the television and movie programs which he is seeing. He cannot restrain himself from that. But he will say that this amil is a powerful amil. He's got such a kind of taweez that all my problems will vanish into thin air. So now he will plug one taweez on the right and one on the left, and one on his chest, one on his head, and one on his right arm, one on his left arm, as if he is taking precaution from all sides. So will these taweezes prevent the azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Believe me, brothers, this is our condition today, that we are believing that just making some dua and then we expect all kinds of acceptance of that dua. So the major cause of our duas not being accepted is sins. Haram is something that prevents the acceptance of the Muslim's dua. Allah ta'ala does not accept the dua. The person is on a long journey. His hair is disheveled. His clothes are laden with dust. And he's making, oh my Rabb, but his food is from haram, his clothes from haram, his nourishment from haram. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, how can his dua be accepted then? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, how can his dua be accepted? So to stay away from haram. And then a very important thing is amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar, to invite towards good and to prohibit from evil. We have taken this to be the job of some alim or some jamaat or somebody else to do amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. It is the duty of every Muslim in front of his very eyes, in his very home, in his very business. Things are happening which he has the power to stop. But he won't stop it. In fact, he will encourage it. He will promote it. He will say, what is wrong with it? We are living in modern days, in modern times. Our businesses also must be run on modern systems. If we are going to keep our businesses free of music and all other kinds of haram, we are not going to take interest and give interest and do all kinds of shady deals, then how are we going to make progress? So, amar bil maruf nahi anil munkar. Now, just because that son is a mastermind in the business, he's a mastermind and he's the one that works and he's the one that is producing the results when it comes to the business, and yet he's the beloved son of that father, and the father is a namazi, five-time namazi, he's in the first saf of the masjid, and he gives his zakat and he goes for hajj upon hajj and umrah upon umrah. And this son of his doesn't make one salat. And he can see in his room he's got not just any television set now, Now he's got a whole cinema in his room. But the father doesn't have the courage to tell the son anything. Why? Because the son is now the breadwinner. Or not just the breadwinner, he's the one who's flooding in with all the monies. So there's no himmat, no courage, no strength. We become like a fox there. And yet that same person in that first saf, when he'll go outside and see somebody else doing something wrong, or if he sees the muazzin or the imam or some musalli doing something wrong, then he will blow his top and he will act as if he is a real waliullah. There he gets a lot of strength. Why? Because they're not going to pay him anything. They're not going to give him anything in return. So you can see how much of contradiction there is in our lives. We don't have that connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't do things for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. There is something that I must have repeated now over 3 or 4 times in this masjid after my return from the recent programs that I had in Mauritius, that this person tells me, he says, Maulana, it will stick to my mind till my dying day when you said that do for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. Allah ta'ala will then give you from his treasure. Do for Allah ta'ala's pleasure. He will then give you from his treasure. Don't worry about what people will give or won't give. Everything is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. So this dua we have been asked to make. So therefore this Allah wala, when he was asked that, what is the reason that we are making dua but it doesn't seem to be accepted? So he said the reason is that we have not pleased Allah ta'ala. We have displeased Allah ta'ala. And we are not even making the effort to please Allah ta'ala. Why do we go to the Allah wala's to make dua? Why don't we go to somebody there on the beachfront sitting in his skimpy shorts and bare-chested and tell that person that I have come to you to make dua to Allah ta'ala that he removes these difficulties of mine. Did we ever go? Did we ever go to the beachfront and look for somebody there that was in his shorts and tell him that I came to you specially so that you make dua? Why don't we go? So it shows that deep down we also believe that the people who have linked themselves, connected themselves, they have built up a relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then we must ask them to make dua for us. We have expectation, we have hopes that their duas will be accepted and our problems will be resolved. So then this is what they are telling us, that become Allah Wala's. And to become an Allah Wala, to become Allah Ta'ala's friend and wali, it does not mean that now we have to give up all our businesses, our homes, our families. We have to divorce ourselves from society. There will be no happiness in our life. We will be boredom and nothing else. This is one word that seems to be affecting everybody. It's a boredom. That if you are going to give up all sins, then you'll get bored. How can we ever get bored? Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this connection and muhabbat with him, there is so many things that you can do, so many things you can enjoy, so many ni'mats that you can still enjoy. In fact, then we will get true happiness. True happiness. Allah Ta'ala will give us true happiness. The hearts will be filled with sukoon, with peace, with tranquility, with serenity, and with such a kind of joy. Sunu me naam tera dhadkano me. Sunu me naam tera dhadkano me. Maza aa jaye maula dil badal de. Sunu me naam tera dhadkano mein, maza aa jaye maula dil badal de. Then we will hear with every beat of our heart, Allah, Allah, Allah. It doesn't mean that we will be making tasbih all the time. But in everything that we will do, when Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with us, then he will give us gardens in our hearts, irrespective of what the outside condition is, as you have heard many times. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the realization. So to say a thing like that I got sick and tired of making du'as, it's a very, very dangerous statement. May Allah ta'ala protect us from losing our trust and our faith and our hope in him. For who else is there for us besides him? Who else is there for us besides him? Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. May Allah Ta'ala give us that kind of connection with him. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems, the trials, the tests that the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is facing throughout the globe. And also the difficulties of the entire mankind. We must pray for the entire mankind that Allah Ta'ala gives them hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.